Good morning. We're on SI time by now. It's Thursday, which means everything ran kind of late this morning. So I'm starting late and we'll end a little late. And so if you can just kind of, in your own SI mellow way, find your way to a seat. I thought I'd open with a poem about technology. There aren't a ton of them that I love. So this one was written a long time ago. It's about an airplane as technology, but it's not that old. It's 1984, but it still fit because it's called Over Ohio. It's by Michael Blumenthal. You can say what you want about the evils of technology and the mimicry of birds. I love it. I love the sheer unexpurgated hubris of it. I love the beaten egg whites of clouds hovering beneath me, this ephemeral hamlet of believing in man's grandeur. You can have all that talk about the holiness of nature and the second Babylon. You can stay shocked about the future all you want, reminisce about the beauties of midwifery. I'll take this any day. This sweet imitation of Mars and Jupiter, this sitting still at 600 miles an hour like a jet-age fetus. I want to go on looking at the moon for the rest of my life and seeing footsteps. I want to keep flying, even for short distances, like here between Columbus and Toledo on Air Wisconsin, an Andean condor sailing over Ohio, above the factories, above the dust and the highways and the miserable tires. So I'm willing to bet that Air Wisconsin doesn't exist anymore. So today I want to talk to you about how Unitarian Universalists are using social media in creative ways. Yesterday I mentioned TED Talks, and I just was going to show you their website. I was surprised by how many of you don't know about this amazing resource. And I was delighted to hear the young man mention it last night in the Vespers. But this is their homepage, Ideas Worth Sharing, TED.com. And you can put in anything you want. And you can see Jane McGonigal is the woman with the 10 next to her. That's a great video about that by that gamer that I showed you yesterday for a minute on Colbert. It's the video I was going to show you about a game that can give you extra minutes in your life, called Super Better. Anyway, there are just all kinds of interesting things there. TED stands for Technology Engineering Design. It's not a guy's name. But really, there are things there about almost anything that you're interested in. And it's a quality assurance when you see the name TED that it's going to be good. So 20 minutes max. Someone yesterday mentioned in the afternoon that her congregation uses them. Like instead of a book group, they have a TED Talks group. And they come and watch a talk and discuss it. How easy is that? Let someone else do the programming. So today I want to show you a Meg talk. I want to talk to you a little bit about Church of the Larger Fellowship, which you may not know what it is, so I thought maybe I would tell you. People have been asking about it. We are technically the biggest congregation in the UUA, 3,500 members. That includes about 450 people in prison, about 300 people in the military and overseas, about 400 young adults, and about 1,200 people who are also members of bricks and mortar congregations. So you're not being promiscuous if you join both. It's really okay. There's a paper newsletter called Quest that probably a lot of you see that is used in small congregations a lot for worship. It's called a worship publication. That's what they named it. But we're... When I came in almost 2 years ago, my vision was really to create digital ministry. I got really excited because I was one of the three people who really created, invented, and began the Standing on the Side of Love campaign, and I really saw what digital ministry can be. So that was the vision that I came in with, and I've been really authorized to run with it. And so I thought I'd share this little Meg talk that I made, a video of kind of what we did pretty much in the first year. And then I'll share with you a little bit about where we're going right now. Uh-oh. in particular share with us what they've learned. I've been thinking of this in my mind as a Meg talk, although it's certainly been inspired by conversations and experiences with many other people. That's him playing our new game. Yeah, that's what it does to you. Can you call
TED Talks
that? Where people who know something
and I know
about
that that's a much better
share with us
viewer
what they've
that.
Learned.
So
I've been
if you can't
thinking
see,
of this
really
in my mind
you to take
as a Meg
seat over
talk.
Here. It's just way
although
better
it's
screen over
been
there.
Inspired by conversations
that
and experiences
the
with
to try
many
to
other
too.
People. Recently, I was at a gathering with other senior ministers of large churches. We had one of those evangelical speakers who knows a lot about church growth and leadership come and speak with us. They often don't quite get our culture, though. But he had a survey that we took, and what astonished me when I took the survey was to learn, after I described what's going on at the Church of the Larger Fellowship, that his survey would classify us as an emergent congregation. That surprised me, of course, because we've been around for decades. But what's true is that what we're doing online, building a new online community, is creating an emergent congregation with the support of the larger community of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, many of whom don't participate in these new ventures. Some of the words that come up for me immediately when I think about what we've been doing: collaboration, experimentation, play. This has been the most creative and joyful time of my life, professionally and personally, in terms of harnessing what I know and want to know to actual work that gets done. Those of us in this room, I know, like to get things done. And we have been moving at campaign speed to see how far we could get in introducing Unitarian Universalism and our way of understanding faith to the broader world in these times that are changing so fast and the technologies that every day are different. Today I thought I'd share three of the experiments that we've been engaged in and a little bit of what we've learned. I want to talk about our new website, online worship, and what I'm going to call loosely Velcro, our new website, questformeaning.org. Quest for Meaning is a seeker-centered website. It's called Quest for Meaning as opposed to Church of the Larger Fellowship or UU something, because we want people, the millions of people who share our spiritual values but don't know words like Unitarian Universalist, we want them to be able to find us with search engines and without the fear that so many people have of organized religion. I know for us, it's a joke to think about Unitarian Universalism as an organized evangelical, we're going to get your religion. But so many people now, you know, they're spiritual but not religious. And those are the people for whom Quest for Meaning is made, with dozens of blogs, with dozens of pastoral outreach pages for people with an autistic child or women who have had an abortion or someone in a fundamentalist family who's come out. We have dozens and dozens of pages for people who are searching for companionship in this world on their own quest for meaning. You know, Google Analytics and other devices allow us to see exactly how people find us and come to us. And what we want to do in the future is much more advertising to find the people who are looking for us. And you can do this online in a fine science. As in so many things, our strength is also our weakness. Because we're a seeker site, because we have all these resources for individuals who haven't yet found us, sometimes for the people who already know us, they're a little frustrated that they can't easily find what they already know they want. And so now we're in the process of making a second website, which will be clfuu.org. And from there, people can easily find out what's going on with us as a church. And it will be very much linked to the seeker site, Quest for Meaning. Second, I want to talk about the experience of creating online worship. We've been doing something that really very few people are doing at all. And that is that we're creating worship explicitly for people who are in their homes, who are by themselves, who are in a small group in a remote place, who are not watching something that happened for someone else. They're not watching the streaming of congregational worship. In fact, we are creating a form that works exactly for them. And we learn every week about this. We get feedback from people who watch it, a lot of feedback, and we can watch the numbers of when people come and go. We're getting now, we think, about 250 people a week, and they're coming to three services. We're going to be adding more services, I'm excited to say, and I'll say a little more about that later. What I've learned with this is that the Holy Grail is not the content we produce. What we produce is created completely to connect people to each other. It's not about performance. We are telling personal stories. They're short. We are talking directly to the individual who's seeking. We're sharing often, as I am now, from our kitchens, from our living rooms. These are very personal connections that we're making as ministers and that the people who are watching are making with each other. Every week we begin by lighting a chalice and saying the chalice is lit at CLF. And at that point, on the side, people write the chalice is lit wherever they are. And every week someone types, I am crying. And the reason that they're crying is they have never lit a chalice with other people before. That is the Holy Grail. That is what we're seeking, that connectivity. It's not about us. It's about that connectivity. So our next step with worship, I'm really excited to say, we're bringing in somebody, an intern, who's going to start creating worship specifically for military people and their families. And he himself has been in the military and is going to be a military chaplain. And we're really excited to offer that service where we can use, say, the image of an American flag, which many Unitarian Universalists are quite uncomfortable with, but for military families says, we are welcome here, we are valued here. And so he will be using symbols and language that speaks particularly to those people. But because we use video and it's all modular, he doesn't have to create a whole service. He can use the homilies and the music and we can interchange them. So the third thing that I wanted to talk to you about is what I called our Velcro programs. Velcro, you know, it sticks. And so we are always thinking about what is our Velcro? Where do we get people deeply enough connected that they're going to stick? The first that I've mentioned is that we really want the worship to deepen people enough that there's something they get there that they don't get anywhere else. Deep connection with other people. In order to keep building that, we're going to need staff to create infrastructure and a lot of lay leadership so that people are connected just as they are in a bricks and mortar church with other people. Always with other people, ushers and greeters and all of the things that other bricks and mortar congregations use. Second, and we already have some of these, but we'll be building more, ways to stay connected between worship. Classes, covenant groups. We have a number of Facebook groups already where people are talking to each other every day. They're in intimate conversation with each other. We're going to add dream work groups. Jeremy Taylor, I'm delighted to say, is going to work with us on these. We're going to be adding spiritual practices of all kinds, yoga, spiritual journaling, all kinds of practices for people in between worship services. We have the Daily Compass, and our fantastic intern, Joanna Crawford, is working with Lynn Unger so that every day there's a beautiful image and a beautiful reading that comes to them. Our fabulous Minister of Technology, Linda Perez, is working on more apps and games. We have the app, Quest for Meaning, where you can listen to podcasts and you can light a chalice if you're at the hospital, if you're on a plane, wherever you are, you can share a joy or a sorrow. But
Linda's going to be adding more to that. The daily compass will come to that, for instance. So you can get a daily meditation that comes up on your smartphone or your mobile device. Linda's also working on our first ever game, and we're looking at how to develop games, because if we want young people to come to us, we're going to need those. These are just some of the things we're doing now. We're going to be trying, experimenting, and playing. We have so many ideas. We're limited only by the staff capacity and the volunteer capacity to carry them out. We're happy that you want to be part of this adventure with us, and that you've come tonight, and that you'll talk to us and learn and share with us your ideas, dreams, and visions, so that together we can reach out and share the saving message of a Unitarian Universalist faith with a world who is so longing to know what we already know, that every child is born holy, that every faith is about love and compassion and justice, and that we, in this short time on our planet, what we're here to do is to care for one another and ourselves. Thank you so much, and I'd love to have questions now.
Clearly that was made for an event at a nighttime, and you didn't agree to come to it, but there you got it anyway. So. I asked Cliff if he would, the game is in total beta test mode, but I asked Cliff if he would just play it for a minute. Poor guy, he had like 1 second to try. But it's a very simple little game. It's just our first, hopefully of many. The UU Sunday School Society gave us a little tiny grant. It's called Chalice Game. And I don't know if the screen will pop out. It's very simple. All you try to do is touch all the red chalices before they either touch each other or touch the ground. If you get all the red chalices, the prize is you get the first principle written in red. And we've laid out the principles. It's a thing I did way back when I was a DRE 25 years ago to make the principles correlate with a rainbow and turn them into imperative statements. So the first one is respect the worth and dignity of all people. So that comes up in red. And then you do orange, and then it'll get a little faster. And so we're just playing with this. Yeah? It'll go to different levels, and you'll get a little badge, and, you know, it's just plainly, and so we just sent it out to our folks and said, if anyone wants to beta test, and the first email that came back was just such a typical CLF minister. This is the biggest waste of time I have ever seen in my life. I said, well, yeah, so are all the games that we play, you know, a lot of them. Anyway, so we're playing with that. Thank you, Cliff. Let's give him a round of applause. You know, and we're going to be really developing not only small groups for our people, but online training for people in other congregations, either who want to work with Jeremy Taylor on DreamWork and take it back home or take it online, or John Burens is giving us all of his books to use to work with him about some theological education. It's fun every day who just shows up and goes, I want to play with you, musicians and ministers. And that's one of the joys of this kind of work, is that everybody wants to collaborate. You know, it's an open source environment, and that means it's an environment of generosity. Now, figuring out how to sustain it is a little complicated. We're all trying to figure that out. But, you know, it is such a fun environment to be in. And there are so many platforms that are free that we can use, like having small groups on Facebook or in Google Plus. People want to hang out in real time. They can find each other. We don't have to pay anything for that. And these, for those of you who are in Bricks and Mortar Church, can be a great add-on to your congregation to keep people connected. You can use them for covenant groups for parents of young children who often can't, you know, carving out time to get to something is hard. I haven't seen many people do kind of offline possibilities for things like annual meetings, but I hope that'll get to be really, really common. So, you know, this year we're just tweaking everything, improving it, you know, but as I've said over and over, I hope the beauty of this is you just get to mess around. And if someone says to you, that's the biggest waste of time I ever heard, you just laugh and keep going, you know, right? And so one of my things is sometimes in churches we get so focused on the two people that say no that we think until everyone says yes, we just should wait. And that's a really good way to kill a church right there. So, you know, I'm all for, yeah, you can cheer for that. I'm all for finding the people who like it and moving on with them because they're there. They're right there, and they're a lot more fun to hang around with. So this year, and this is what's so cool to me, is that this year we have 6 interns coming in. We're really building a learning center. And especially, you know, a lot of seminarians, especially young ones, are just so drawn to this kind of creative entrepreneurial ministry. And there's so much good stuff going on. So we had so many applications. You know, I worked for years starting an internship center in Washington, D.C., and getting it approved and doing all these things. And we never had more than 4 interns the whole years that it was there. And all of a sudden, I looked up and went, how did I get 6 interns? It's because people are coming all the time going, please, please, please. So this year, we'll have the military, the guy doing the military internship, a young adult internship that's really going to focus on building international community for young adults, because international Unitarian Universalist community for young adults, because for young adults who have been online forever, it's like not value added to just go do more of the same. So we're thinking, you know, what would really make it interesting? So we're talking to youth and young adults in, you know, Transylvania and Indonesia and the Philippines, and, you know, really collaborating with the UUA's international office to look at how we can really create something that doesn't exist, which is kind of an international UUism. It exists for a small number of people, but to make it young and energetic. We have somebody who will focus exclusively on small groups, someone who will do the pastoral piece of this. Joanna, who you saw up there in her kitchen, is going to really focus in on worship. And we have somebody who does communication. So these are people, like I say, I show up with my begging bowl, and I'm just awed by who turns up. And I warrant that if you do this in your congregation, exactly the same thing will happen. People will just start coming out of the woodwork, you know, saying, I have something to contribute. It's quite awesome. So there's this group I wanted to mention to you called Radical Spirits, which is seminarians, comes out of the Harvard Div School. And they've invented this word, I don't really know how you say it. I'll say it like meme evangelism, which is the act of evangelizing about UUism through short videos. And so they have a website, The Radical Spirit, where people who are in formation for ministry can post videos that they've made presenting UUism to the world. And I commend it to you. There are some really fun ones. We're going to watch the Lego one now. This is a Unitarian Universalism is understood through Legos. So this is to say that even if you don't have the ability to produce material, there's a ton of it right there that could be on your website.
My name is Liz James, and I want to talk to you about Lego. I love Lego. So do my boys, but they like to build things more like weapon storehouses and tanks. I like building benign things, pretty things. One day I built a church I was particularly proud of, and I went to show it off to my boys.
Where's the main part? My son asked me when I showed him the masterpiece. Here, I said, pointing at the pews and the lectern. No, he said, where's the main part of the church? You know, the church. Here, I pointed again. He sighed. That's where the adults go, he said. But where's the main part of the church?
I explained to Eric how in the time of my grandma, whole families sat together to listen to one message. He says he doesn't think the kids would like that very much. I said, according to my grandma, they didn't. But explained about wisdom being imparted, the value of obedience and different traditional structures, he stopped listening around obedience, hauling all my parishioners out to do battle with a pirate ship that had inexplicably sailed up the main street of town. But it got me to thinking, what if I tried to build the main part of my church, not as the building, but the life that goes inside it?
How do you make a religion out of Lego? not the symbols or the building, but what people actually do.
I started with other religions. I made a Catholic pyramid, with a pope at the top, and then the cardinals. The structure of this made even less sense to my 6-year-old. But somehow I don't think that Lego would be the right way to tell you about Catholicism. I think to really show you the heart of Catholicism, I'd need to take you to the Sistine Chapel or immerse you in the notes of Ave Maria. Lego as an art form is too goofy, too transient. When I think of Catholicism, I think of great works of art, great theological ideas painstakingly preserved and protected for future generations. Lego just doesn't do it. What about Buddhism? I envy the Buddhists' simplicity, their focus on life in the moment, and their comfort with the unexplained and unexplainable. But Lego as a purchased plastic toy doesn't seem like the right art form to use to pay homage to Buddhism. Maybe a dance would be a better choice, or a garden. For atheism, what would I use?
Somehow I don't think so. Because the heart of atheism isn't found in what it isn't, it's found in what it is.
So maybe I'd need images from the Hubble telescope, or excerpts of Darwin or Einstein's notes, to really show you the heart of atheism. Now what about Unitarian Universalism? What would I use to show the main part of that? Somehow I don't think so. This is what I had right before I discovered Unitarian Universalism. Stuff I'd pulled apart because it was wrong, or stuff that fell apart when you pushed on it, or stuff that demanded really twisting the pieces to get them to fit. It was like I'd been given a kit with instructions, and I'd thrown out the instructions and taken everything apart, but I had no idea where to start rebuilding. I knew I needed to build something for myself, but I didn't want to build something by myself. I needed something. I needed someone to join me and say, "This is hard, but you can do this. Here's some ideas that have worked for me. Tell me what you're working on." I needed someone to say, "You're not alone in this. This is worth doing. You can do this." People will say, "I can't paint," or "I can't sing," but nobody will say, "I can't play Lego." There are no long lectures about architecture or color composition in the world of Lego art. There are Picassos of Lego, though. There are exhibitions and even museums with works of art on display. But they're meant to be copied, created, and changed. They're meant to inspire play. With Lego, the pulse of the art form rests not with the most brilliant, but with the kid who shouts, "Hey, cool," and dives in. Unitarian Universalism is like that, I think. It's a theology that moves and plays and connects with you where you are. Which isn't to say it's one without structure or substance and content, but these things move and evolve and are shaped. They're not etched on the ceiling of a great cathedral or carved in marble. Good thing, too, because the world is changing. People's beliefs are changing, but that's not the whole story. People aren't also attached to the format of church the way they used to be. They're learning in new ways, they're exploring in new ways, they're connecting with one another in new ways. We're equipped to meet that change because we're not a religious museum. We're not tethered to fixed beliefs or fixed structures that keep us from meeting people where they are. Where's the main part? My son had asked me about my church. And then, over the next year, the murmured mantras of two boys playing Lego on the living room carpet answered that question for me. The Psalms of Lego mirror ideas found in Unitarian Universalist history and theology. They tell the story of a main part that sees itself not as a religious museum, but as an ongoing religious playdate.
Do you think it will hold weight?
Let's try.
I'm done. No, wait.
This piece we always use this way. You could use it this way, too.
Can we put a hinge there so it can open up?
That's beautiful. What is it? How is it held together?
That's not big enough. Let's take it apart in chunks and put it back together.
Come on in. We're playing!
They tell the story of home found in structures and ideas that are alive with movement. They tell the story of radical shared ministry, connecting with people and ways of doing things that we've never connected with before. They tell the story of seeing the changes facing society and church not as obstacles to be overcome or worked around, but as opportunities to be integrated into what we're already building. home that has the vision of expanding to fit the shape of all that we want to incorporate and create. Home that makes room. Come on in. We're playing.
So there, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So there's just a ton of stuff like that once you start poking around. And it's so easy to pop that into the homepage of your website. So, you know, so that somebody who came could watch that. And then if they liked it, they could, and were on Facebook, they could share it with all their friends. And then by the time 200 people share it with their friends, the potential for thousands of people to see it now exists. It's so easy. It takes a second. And not to do it is also so easy. But, you know, we're missing it. That video, in my opinion, should be about half as long as it is, sadly, because we have very short attention spans online. But, you know, it held, nonetheless. And it's, you know, it's a mom using the metaphor that's around her. It could be any of you describing what faith is for you. But you see how it's close-ups, it's very personal, it's very vulnerable. It's not, you don't have to have a fancy studio to do this. In fact, if you look at what goes viral on YouTube, a lot of it is filmed, a lot of it is filmed here. So, you know, what goes on viral on YouTube? It's interesting, it's surprising, and there's an element that calls people in to participate themselves. So, you know, the stuff that really goes viral is when people start to imitate something. And so, you know, I mean, the It Gets Better campaign is a really clear one where people are all invited to do their own How It Gets Better. And pretty soon, you know, you have everybody from the president to, you know, Broadway musicals, and everybody's creating their own It Gets Better. Right now in Minnesota, we're facing one of these ballot initiatives to amend the Constitution around marriage, which I know Ohio has had, and they're a pain to live through. The people who did the ads in California are now in Minnesota gearing up. We know we're going to be hitting this onslaught of really hateful ads, and so the local congregations have gotten together and are going to create a series of videos, not to change people's votes, but to offer pastoral support to people who are suffering as they're in this onslaught. And I'm really excited about this. They're actually meeting this morning without me, but I've been sending them lots of input. And I'm really excited about the idea that we'll be speaking, you know, a different voice. It's not about go vote this way or go vote that way. It's saying, whoa, so your neighbor put up a lawn sign that really hurt you. So what are you going to do? I mean, it's very concrete advice. It's concrete advice that will go through whether we win or lose the election. It's a way to reach out with our values. And I'm quite excited about it. All of the congregations in the area are getting involved and speaking out about, you know, not only here's a place you could come to feel safe and to be with other people with your values, but also, you know, just we're sorry. So that people who may never come or who live way the heck out, you know, on the Iron Range or something in Minnesota can feel accompanied the way that these very personal videos can accompany people, which, you know, is a very kind thing to do, I think. So I think that, you know, for any of us, the bottom line is just to putz around and share what you find with each other. How many of your congregations have communications committees? A few. That's such a basic thing to do. May I suggest it? And then get some techie people on it and get people to share. And, you know, if you encourage creativity, like if you encouraged a video contest where people in your congregation were encouraged to make a video about what they loved about it and say there was a prize like a parking spot that said video winner gets to park here or a throne in the sanctuary where they get to sit. It doesn't have to cost money is what I'm saying. But you raise visibility, make it fun, get the youth group involved and the young adults, the people who have some skills around this stuff. And also you're going to find other people coming out the woodwork with skills. And, you know, you can even very cheaply get cameras that'll work. But again, this will work. Tip from learning it the hard way. Use it sideways. Otherwise, you end up with a really skinny rectangular-shaped video. But, you know, otherwise, they shot a part of what was that movie, The Avengers, with an iPhone 4S, just to show they could. This camera, when I went to the training to learn what was new about my new iPhone, yes, I've become that kind of person, but the person running it said, I used to be a professional videographer, and this is a better camera than we used to spend $30,000 on. So that the technology is just getting that accessible to people. So, you know, another idea, have the youth, instead of selling bagels, sell time of training at the computer after church so that they're tech advisors, they're there for hire, and the money goes to the church. Again, this can be a way to build community, build support. And I did want to mention that this afternoon, the reason that we're moving where the talk back is so that we can both help people who, some of you have come up to me and said, I can't even, Facebook just overwhelms me so much, I just can't even figure out where to start. People like you can sit quietly and get one-on-one coaching. We can look at some more websites and look around how to find stuff as well as talking. But just to be a little motivating, you know, I'm so proud of our app. I feel great about it. Now the UUA has an app, and there's one other app that this guy in Mexico has invented for you to use. Sometime, just if you have a smartphone, just go to the app store and look up the word Mormon. There are coloring books. There are Mormon song books. There are Mormon Bibles. There are Mormon homilies. There are hundreds of apps. You can scroll down for hundreds of free apps. And that's when the kind of delight in, you know, this little thing can go. And of course, they're huge and we're not. But we're not using what we could use. That's what I see every time I go online. The one site that my staff has forbidden me to go on, but I'm going to take you there anyway, is called lifechurch.tv. And they've forbidden me because envy is a sin. But if you go down to visit church online, see that on the right side? Yeah, click that. So we spend $3,000 a year on a live stream channel that doesn't get ads. They develop their own channel. They have always a ticker with how long till the next live thing. We'll see. Usually some real person pops up to greet you no matter when you show up. It's always in your time zone. We're always saying, you know, at 3 Eastern, wherever you are in the world, they come to your time zone. You pick the language that you want it in. They'll dub it in any language. You can chat with people in any language. You see why I start to get a little envious of this. It's just so much more friendly to people, you know. And this is some evangelicals in Oklahoma who have made this site. Right now they're taking people to the movies. But anyway, I lift that one up. There's one called MarsHill.com. I didn't send it to you, but maybe you can take us there too. They're just, the evangelicals do some amazing sites. And along with looking at what you use are doing, I do encourage you to look at what some other folks are doing. Mars Hill. Mars Hill. Sorry. I think it's all one word. But yeah, if you just Google that, you'll get to the... Yep. Mars Hill Church. These are beautiful websites. They're just, you know, they're seeker-centered. One of the things I notice when I go to these places is when you go to the next step, what you don't get is the history of who they are. You get their passionate interest in who you are. Again, very welcoming to people coming in. It's persuaded me that our new you classes should not be let us tell you about our church history. No one's coming because they need that. It should be tell us your spiritual story and let's listen to each other if we actually want people to stick around. So, anyway, go to What is Mars Hill Music? That's, I think, they have a record label. I mean, you know, again, they're bigger, but they're not really. I mean, we have resources. They're just called to use them in different ways. So anyway, I do encourage you strongly to spend time going there. I wanted to show you a UU thing that's really cool, and it's the UU Church of Arlington, Virginia, which I did send you. June Harold, this AOL executive, got laid off in Arlington, Virginia, and it was the best thing that ever happened to the church there. She redid the website, and but this is just one page of it. You know, along with having training in the sanctuary, they have online tutorials about how to use the website and how to use social media. And so you can watch little videos right on their website that they've developed showing you how to do this. Again, it just makes it super friendly. Now, they've done this thing, see all these, our church and Facebook, blogs, shortcuts in navigation, that, you know, just all these ways to make it friendlier for people who come so they don't just sit at home feeling inadequate the way so many of us do. The one thing June does that I think is too hard, but maybe some of you do it, is that it's a Ning site, which means that they have their own internal social media thing, like kind of their own Facebook. And that's really great for privacy because we all get really sick. I do. Facebook's privacy stuff is evil. But the trouble with it is it can only be seen by the people who are in there. And so it's not an outreach tool. So you win some, you lose some. And the truth is about all of this, there are underbellies. I'm fully aware of who made this item. You know, I mean, I'm not here to say this is perfect. This is absolutely the way to go. I'm here to say this is the world we're in, and let's be part of it. So why don't you go back to their homepage, Arlington, Virginia. Just take the end off of that. Again, when you go to their homepage, there are videos. There's a video welcome. There's a video of what's going on. Then if you go to any section, social justice, RE, it's video, video. Maybe you're getting this from me, the mantra. Video, you know, the wordy stuff is kind of over for people coming online. And so they do that. You want to hit the UU Planet when the... This is this guy, Peter Bowden, who's a... He's a... Actually produces a kids' TV show in Boston, but he has a real passion for the growth of Unitarian Universalism. He's married to a minister, and he's started a website where he shares a lot of videos. It's a good place to go if you're looking for video to put onto your website. So and let's watch this one. This is what'll take us out today. This is a video that Peter made. Kind of video that you can use, pull out. It's from the UU world. It can be on your website. It can say to people who come and look, here's who we are, here's how it matters, and here's why we want you to be with us. So I think, as Clay Shirky said yesterday, we are in a revolution. And I like to think of us as revolutionary spirits and not unquestioning spirits. That's never been who we are. But I think that we have so much capacity, and that any congregation, even of six people that's in this room, has the capacity to use this to reach out, to share who we are with the world. And I think just the way that we saw, you know, not killing, last night we saw that, you know, not killing a bug can lead to a good ham sandwich. Which is not a happy ending for many of us, but for some it is. Especially the pig, but But I think that just as we don't know the impact of a number of our actions in that abstract of a way, we can't even know as we begin to ripple out with this. But we do know the alternative. And unfortunately, I see the alternative too much. People who are too scared to try, too scared to risk. And honestly, congregations die, you know. And so I think if we support each other, and that's why finding each other on something like Facebook can be so helpful, so we can support each other every day and take risks and make mistakes. And in our staff meetings, one thing we do every week is cheer for the dumbest mistake somebody made that really led them to learning something. And it's a wonderful thing because during your day you go, oh, maybe that'll qualify. You know, gives you a lot of material to look at every day. And so I think if we could come to that more playful Lego-like spirit as we do this, we'd be a lot happier than if we're trying to build the Sistine Chapel and have a perfect ancient painting up there. So tomorrow we'll wrap this. Today I hope some of you will come and look at more stuff on computers. Go forth and multiply. No. We'll do that too. Divide, multiply. Say what? Go viral. Yeah, baby.